Murphy's Bro Mayor Will Stevens is joining you this morning. Hey, Will, first off, morning, and second, how did your town fare with the storm last night?
Well, good morning, Tom. I think we fared pretty well. I picked up a few things out of my yard this morning, a few limbs and branches that had blown down. Some of my neighbors had a larger limb blow out of the top of a tree, and it landed in the back of their pickup truck, but didn't look like it had done a whole lot of damage. So went over and helped my neighbor lady who had had a big, heavy planter blow over and break, picked it up and helped throw it away. But I think we're all right. I don't think we had any major damage, at least none that has been reported to me yet.
Right. Well, I'm just looking at the power outage report, and customers without service, multiple outages, 14 is what is defined, but customers without service at 112 for Murfreesboro. And you've got some north of town, and it looks like east of town as well. So I think we were lucky we were on the tail of that, although there are some things that happened down around Anna that I've been hearing might be a tornado on the ground. Hey, City Council tonight, you're going to be discussing masks in City Council, my understanding, this evening. Are we going to see a mandatory, like the one in Carbondale, a mask mandate like in Carbondale for Murfreesboro?
Well, I'm not sure, because I think the conversation will be about whether we're talking about individuals, whether we're talking about employees at businesses. I know both of those things are things that members of the City Council want to discuss. And I've said repeatedly, and I'll say again, people ought to wear a mask when they're out in public. Everything I've read from Dr. Fauci to President Trump, to Governor Pritzker, have said that wearing a mask slows the spread of COVID-19. And those individuals don't necessarily always agree on much. And, you know, that said, I am a little less interested in a local mask ordinance for individuals because, from my perspective, I don't think that it's enforceable, not only because of the ability of our police department to have enough people to respond to those potential calls, and then I have a few questions about what is the burden of proof in the frozen food aisle at your local grocer whenever somebody says that they have COPD or they have claustrophobia or they're asthmatic or whatever the medical reason is, because these ordinances have exceptions written into them. I would be probably more comfortable with us passing some sort of local ordinance saying that businesses can, make their employees wear a mask, especially those that are in retail settings who are essentially in one place for a period of time interacting with customers at customer service desks, and these types of things do present some scenarios where transmission, I think, would be much more likely. So we'll see sort of how the debate goes. I am in support of people wearing masks. I also don't want to do things that ultimately I'm not convinced that we can enforce, and that might give, because if you think a mask ordinance is going to make you not run into potentially somebody wearing a mask, that's probably not a reasonable expectation because of the exceptions built in. So we'll have a good conversation tonight, and we'll see where it leads.
Do you think about the average age in Murfreesboro in relationship to this mask ordinance? You have a community that in the census reports is a little older than many other communities.
Yeah, and you know, last week I put up a post on my Facebook page and outlined all the reasons why people ought to wear masks and why it's the right thing to do. And, you know, when you look at the statistics, people that are elderly, 70, 75, 80 and above, when these folks catch COVID, it is a very deadly disease. And Murfreesboro is about 18-19% of our population is in that age demographic. And so if you are wearing a mask, you know, it shows to that person who is 78 years old, doesn't have any family, still has to get out to the grocery store, still has to go out and pick up those prescriptions, that you care about them. And I've made that point over and over again. I mean, when I was a kid, after church on Sunday afternoon, I'd go outside in the springtime and I'd sneeze, and my grandmother would say, "Well, cover your mouth when you sneeze, would you please?"
Yeah.
And, you know, if if that advice from her means anything to me from an allergy on a Sunday afternoon, then it ought to mean something to me during this coronavirus outbreak. And this social contract is what we really need to be enforcing upon one another, more so, I think, than anything, because these ordinances, while I have no issue with anybody who has passed them and I understand the motivation behind them, I think just holding each other accountable on an individual basis in a way that's, you know, shows polite concern for one another is the best way to make this happen. And that's what I have tried to communicate over and over again.
As you look at the agenda for the city council meeting today, some of this is being held by direct attendance in person at the high school auditorium, and there's also a teleconference too. So you can watch along, but in community relations, I see discussion regarding the adoption of an ordinance requiring masks. Wait a second, that's not the one I want. Here it is. Consideration of a resolution to have advisory referendum on adult-use cannabis business establishments. So what's the goal here with this resolution or proposed resolution?
Well, some folks might remember that many months ago when all the various municipalities were considering whether to allow the retail sale of recreational marijuana in their communities, that I cast a tie-breaking vote. I voted no to not allow the sale of recreational marijuana in Murfreesboro. But at the time that I cast that vote, I said that I would make sure that this question was put on the ballot for the community to be able to vote and express themselves fully. And so that's what we're doing tonight, is following through on that obligation. There is a deadline that we have to meet to make that request of the county clerk so that residents of Murfreesboro can, you know, express themselves at the ballot box about whether they want that to happen or not. I felt like it was prudent to let things play out for a period of time, see what other challenges might arise in other communities that was allowing it and whatnot. And so that's what that is all about, is making sure we keep our word to what we said at the time of that previous vote.
All right. But, I mean, does the fact that in the first 6 months of legalized recreational marijuana in the state that Illinois collected $52 million in taxes, the potential for revenue right now, is that attractive as a school city administrator?
Not to me personally. I was against the legalization of marijuana back when it was passed by the General Assembly, and I still am against it. It's not that I judge anybody that wants to partake in that. It's just that I don't think that it pulls tight the, you know, threads of your fabric of your community. And I think that the long-term health impacts of what we're going to see from that are still yet to be seen. So I don't really let the money influence my perspective on it. Others, I can certainly understand why they might feel like we need to go in that way. To this point, as we've talked about before, even during the coronavirus outbreak, we've seen increases in retail sales tax revenue in Murfreesboro.
Let's take a stop here for just a couple of minutes, okay? You know, whenever I told the story you're getting ready to tell right now, people were shocked. I relived this portion of the interview that we're getting to relive here right now with other people, and they're going, how can this be? I said, no, I've talked to Will, right? He says, look, we rely on retail sales, but everybody got ready for the quarantine. They came in, they bought. You actually made more revenue. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've seen increases over 2019, both for our sales tax returns in March, in April, and in May. And so, you know, I think it's partially because there is a lot of federal stimulus money moving around in the economy right now. People that are on unemployment are getting that additional $600. Many of them still, I can't hardly even keep up with the latest back and forth in Washington, $400 I've heard, and what it is now, I'm not exactly sure. But, you know, the Kroger, the Rural King, the Walmart, these big retailers that we have in Murfreesboro have really buoyed us, and we've seen increases. Now, do I think that's going to go on forever? Well, I don't know. But at this point, we have not seen any negative impact.
All right. Not many people can say that.
Well, and again, I am sure that many other communities can't say that, and I certainly count myself blessed for being able to say that. But the report from the state is what it is, and I'm never going to make myself out to be in a different position than I'm actually in.
Today, if there's anything I've been watching, and I've been waiting for a month for this to come, Jay Carr today, now they're taking up some mask issues, but these cure dollars that were allocated March 27th for communities, Murfreesboro, with a population of 7,970, stands to gain in allotment $328,787, providing the guidelines for its spending allow for economics, being able to do your own economic stimulus or helping businesses in your town. How closely are you watching this?
Well, I'm watching it fairly closely. You know, we've already done an economic stimulus in Murfreesboro at the local level. We set up our Mercy program several months ago. That was the Murfreesboro Economic Relief COVID event was what that stood for. And we wrote out about $30,000 worth of business grants that were forgivable loans to folks that were needing some relief. And if the state lets the localities, which I think the localities, the municipalities, are best equipped to be able to know how those dollars should be met out to their local businesses, then I think that would obviously be a good thing. But as I understand it, as I read Brad Cole's Municipal League updates, currently the state isn't wanting to allow the municipalities to abide by the same guidelines as the feds initially wrote into this stipulations of this money. So I hope they
and
give
the
us
same
the
ones and will
need.
And the same stipulations are allowed for Chicago and Cook County, but not the rest of the state.
Well, of course. I mean, we know what we're dealing with here in the state of Illinois. This is a Chicago centric state. They have the political power. They have the money, and everybody else is an afterthought, largely. And so it doesn't shock me at all that that's the way that it's set up. That used to upset me. I just have sort of accepted it as a fact of life, and I do the best I can for my folks within the guidelines they set forth for me. So we'll see what happens. You know, if I spent most of my time trying to predict or worry too much about what they're going to do in Springfield, I wouldn't get any sleep.
Yeah. It's probably very Zen way of dealing with it. I understand it. I really do. I'll focus on what I can do and what I can't do anything about. Well, then have a nice day. COVID-19, back to school. What's the format that's adopted in Murfreesboro schools for getting back to work?
Well, I know it's going to be a combination of both in-person and online learning. And I think that, of course, is subject to change as the situation changes. And so I've got, you know, full faith and trust in the administrators of District 186 to do the right thing. We have a new superintendent in Dr. Andrea Evers, and I have met with her several times, and I know that she's in constant communication with the health department, and it's a lot to keep up with, you know. And when you look at what is happening, I think that, you know, we're going to quickly find out a lot more about this virus. We know that, you know, young people's immune systems seem to tolerate this much better, but I think it'll be even more important that those folks we talked about earlier, those older folks, you know, we do everything we can to protect them during this time, because ultimately when you get more people together, you're going to have more spread. Nobody ever promised we weren't going to have more spread of coronavirus. As you know, as after we bent the curve so the hospitals could handle things. And so we'll see how it goes. And I know everybody's doing their best to keep everybody safe.
Before I let you go, you and I have not spoke about the former mayor of Murfreesboro and his recent death, Chris Grissom.
Well, Chris was a neighbor of mine. He lived about two or three blocks to the south, and it was very shocking to hear that he had passed away. Chris was somebody that had a heart for the community and worked hard at the job. And he, of course, was very much involved in Republican politics. He was very much involved in bringing the upgrades to the Murfreesboro then boot camp, now the Life Skills Transitionary Center. And the city of Murfreesboro owes Chris Grissom a debt of gratitude because, you know, he stepped up to the plate back in the 90s and guided this city through a time of great success. And my condolences to his family because, you know, he is missed. He was somebody that I always looked forward to seeing and who I saw quite often. And as a former mayor, I leaned on him for feedback, you know, anytime I was facing a difficult decision.
Murfreesboro Mayor Will Stevens. Will, thanks for your time. Is there anything else from City Council we need to point out before I let you go this morning, City Council tonight?
Well, the only thing I wanted to mention, it's not directly the City Council, is I want to thank IDOT and E.T. Simons. We just completed the Walnut Street resurfacing project.
Right.
They did a great job, and it's really making the downtown look great, smooth ride. Also, I'm thankful for continued progress on the hotel at 13 and 127. And we look forward to seeing that open in March of next year.
What are they going to do about the barbecue championship? Do you know yet?
Well, I don't believe that it's going to be held. I have not checked their website recently, but it's my understanding that it has been canceled.